Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is the 27th day of September 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that is where you go if you'd like to jump into the multimedia madcap real-time Mary Zany extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. You will there be greeted by none other than Anatole, Hoghead, Jugapunch, Jules, Steve from Georgistan, Will in Chicago, and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, although being a third stage guild navigator, has decided not to fold space and become man cave because apparently it is hotter than the central Arakene desert in the man cave this evening. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and I'm waiting for some, let's see, the Skype computer decided to stop cooperating a little bit ago. So I'm waiting for it to reboot. But that doesn't matter right now because, we're not Skyping yet. But everything else is golden. The stress line is up and running and ready to go. And I'm up and running and ready to go. I felt rather icky all day. Not sick. And I certainly haven't been, doing this every 5 minutes. And, drinking lots and lots of water. I remember a time when people in social situations would make that noise a lot and then drink a lot of water and talk really fast and have very forced and pressured speech. Do you? On my planet, we called those times the 80s. And we called the people doing that, coke heads. Yeah. And one wonders. And not just me. I mean, I hadn't seen that much sniffing and water guzzling since the disco ended as a social phenomenon. And places like Studio 54 closed down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was expecting any minute to just reach down and rub some baking soda on his gums. Damn. Yeah, I know. But it was an interesting night, I suppose. If by interesting, it felt like we were deliberately subjecting ourselves to something that, yeah. And then Hoghead in the chat room says, Lester Holt, one piss poor moderator. Was he even there? Yeah, but we'll get to all of that. We will, I promise, in due time. A reminder. We closed the program last night with a goose egg. This is a listener-supported program. And a reminder that, we did close the program with a goose egg last night, which means that we had a we would have had a $450 fundraising hole this evening. But Steve from Georgia Stan and Miss Karen, and maybe even Cletus, if she's gotten around to forgiving them for kenneling her for 4 days, kicked in $15, and that meant that it was not a complete goose egg, and that's always. That's always good, but we do. We've got a $435 fundraising hole this evening. And a note, and this is good, a note from the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, President and CEO Harold. The next, and this goes to the fact that the last part of the month, we are really, really short of subscribers. The next three brand new subscribers get a $5 a month match for 1 year. Okay? In other words, if you subscribe, say, at $10 a month over at headonradionetwork.com, you click the little tab that says contribute, and there on the, in the first page, there's a little box where you've put in the amount, and you click make this a recurring monthly donation. The next three people who do that will have $5 added to their subscription for the entire year, courtesy of Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. That's a sweet deal. So if it's a $5 subscription, you double it to $10. If it's a $10 subscription, it goes up by, you know, half again as much to $15. So please take advantage of this, because we need subscribers in the last week of the month, every month, because we're the cupboard's kind of bare where that's concerned. But that is a really, really big deal. The next three subscribers, and it would be great to have them this evening. You know, the political season's winding down, and God knows it's been the presidential election years are hard on everybody who exists by fundraising and or by independent finance, independent funding. And I even got a dear Bob, can't you please send me $3 note from Hillary Clinton. And while I feel good, I'm okay with voting for her, but I think she needs to, if she needs money, she needs to go back to her Wall Street pals and ask them for it. Because but anyway, we need to raise $435 this evening, and having three brand new subscribers would be a nice beginning to that process. If you prefer to use the United States Postal Service, a quick reminder, the mailing address is The Horn, 1038 Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. That's for checks and money orders, and you know, or cash if you're not worried about that getting boosted somewhere along the way. Remember, we share a UPS store location with the Klan over in Beckley, because UPS cannot be persuaded that the Klan isn't somebody they want to do business with. Because after all, they're just a social organization. Right? Right. So, there's that. Skype is now rebooted, so we're safely and happily set up there. Yes? And another reminder, we are moving down. We're about $80 away, $81 contributions away from fulfilling Larry's challenge, who offered up $666 as a doubling down challenge for 333 people giving a dollar to the Horn. So we need $81 contributions. Yes. Maybe we can do that. I hope we can, and we've got until Friday to finish it off. So thanks very kindly to Larry for that as well. All righty then. It is, of course, and this works out nicely. Right, Will in Chicago noting, if the Ku Klux Klan is just a social organization, then I'm the Martian Manhunter. I'll be over with some gold from the asteroid belt in a bit. Don't strain anything, Will. Get one of those anti-grav sleds and use that instead. No, it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. You might recall Titanic Tuesday having been named many, many years ago now by our buddy Jim, who tuned into right-wing radio over in Beckley, America's fifth smallest radio market, to hear the morning monotone, who was generally read the paper to people in the morning. And he was doing that, and he took a call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, who asked him, "Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Because we ain't nowheres near the ocean." To which he responded, "Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates." Thus did we have a beginning to Titanic Tuesday on the horn, wherein every Tuesday we celebrate what passes for intellect, and Titanic it is among the right wing. No word yet on the movement of the Titanic hummingbird tongue tongs there on the Titanic table where the Titanic plates are. No. So, like I said, it works out pretty nicely. Uh-oh. Subject line, Bob, Bob, Bob. I done did it now. Ron sent me a Bob, Bob, Bob note. "Are you insinuating that the upright, clean-living Benito Cheeto had been indulging in some Peruvian marching powder? How dare you!" Signed, Ron and Raleigh. Yeah. And that was Ron's sniff, not mine. Well, I hope I wasn't insinuating. I thought I was just outright suggesting. Because God knows, none other than former Vermont Governor Howard Dean took to Twitter and just asked right out, "Is Don on coke?" To which the response came, "No, he's snorting Adderall." Damn, you know. And it's just weird. The whole night was weird. And it had apparently a Super Bowl-sized audience for it. And everything we said about it was true. Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton was, of course, held to a standard whereby, you know, no sighing, no, God knows, no sniffling. "Jesus God, she's got Ebola dengue fever! Did you hear that sniffle?" No, that. But eventually, she couldn't contain herself, and she broke out in a wiggle and a hoot. I think it was very much a planned hoot. It was a scripted hoot, because she was prepared to the nth degree, because that's what she does. She prepares. She tries to absorb every bit of information there is, and then tries not to make the wrong decision. She's made the wrong decision a few times, but she's trying to learn from her mistakes. And as compared to the guy that she's running against, that is downright presidential. And yes, Hoghead in the chat room, you are correct. Donald Trump put out a couple of sighs that would have sent the for-profit media into paroxysms of shock, pearl clutching, sent them running for the fainting couch. Had anyone else done it? You know, kind of like they did when Al Gore sighed. Big size. Yeah, okay, okay, Anatole. In the chat room, Anatole just said, "Stop telling me how to vote, Bob!" Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought the red ensemble was a nice touch for Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton. And it would have been really nice if each candidate would have spoken their minds, but no, because Trump. Right? I mean, let's just check out the... I mean, it takes two people to do this, but there's an old knock-knock joke that my children loved when they were little. And it goes, knock-knock, who's there? Interrupting cow. The other person says, interrupting cow. And then before the person can say, interrupting cow who, the other person says, moo! The interrupting cow is running for president on the Republican ticket. Just give a listen.
Gee, I hope it does collapse, because then I can go in and buy some and make some money. Well, it did collapse.
That's called business, by the way.
9 million. I think it's real.
I do not say that.
And I think it's important that we... I have thought about this quite a bit.
Yeah, for 30 years.
I have how we can make it work again.
Well, he approved
3 million
NAFTA.
New jobs, he approved a balanced
NAFTA,
budget.
Which is the single worst trade deal ever approved in this country.
Incomes went up for... Create more new jobs.
Right. Well, you haven't done it in 30 years or 26 years.
Well,
any number
I've been a senator,
you haven't
Donald,
done it.
And
you haven't
I have
it.
Been a and secretary of state, and I have
Your
done
husband signed NAFTA, which was one of the worst things that ever happened.
I wrote about that in...
You called it the gold standard.
About, well, I hope...
You called
I,
it the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, when it was negotiated,
not.
Which I wrote about that...
So is it President Obama's fault? Is it President Obama's
you
fault?
Even announced. Look, there
Secretary,
are
is it President
there,
Obama's fault?
There are
because he's pushing it.
There are different views. At $5 trillion to the debt.
But you have
but
no plan.
Educate. Oh, I do.
Secretary,
fact,
you
have
no plan.
A called Stronger Together. You yeah. can pick it up
That's
tomorrow.
That's about all you folks.
At
we're
the
gonna...
bookstore. 500,000 jobs and explode.
You are
the
going
debt,
to approve one of the biggest tax cuts in history.
Charges and claims. And so
Facts.
We have taken because
and take
I
a look at mine also and you'll see
add a penny to that's ever happened.
Why not?
Now, let me say
hey, there's nothing crazy about not letting our companies
case.
Bring their money it, back into their
this
country.
This is Secretary Clinton's 2 minutes,
yes.
please.
Yeah, well, let's start the clock again, Lester. I happen to
then you
support
didn't read
that.
It.
I happen to. You've proposed
Who gave
a,
it that
an
name?
Approach
First
that
ever.
Has
gave
a
that
$4 billion
this is
tax benefit. And when you look at what
much,
you are proposing,
much for my family?
It
are you
is,
counting?
As I said, so
that makes
if
me
he's
smart.
Paid zero email.
That's for sure.
And the other thing I think is important.
It
to
would
point
be squandered, too, believe me.
What he was charging
Maybe
you
he
do,
didn't do a good job, and I was
well,
unsatisfied with
do,
his work,
do
which our country
do the,
should do,
do the
too.
Thousands try to negotiate down the
Wrong.
National debt of the
Wrong.
United States. Black communities in our country.
Ugh.
You know, the vibrance. So there
you're
is.
Wrong. You're wrong.
No, I'm
Murders
not.
Murders are up. All right, you check.
New York has done an excellent job. Vladimir Putin, but Putin is playing
Wrong.
A really tough long the invasion of Iraq.
Wrong.
That is absolutely
Wrong.
Proved over and over again.
Wrong.
He actually advocated that's
that would
not
start
good
a war.
Judgment. The worst part
no,
of
they
what
were taunting
we heard
us.
Donald say, you know, that's fine, you
Wrong.
Know, have a good time, folks.
It's
and in fact, to employers, who has said women don't do as good a job as men. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Name is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
Mr. Trump, it's going to take 10 seconds.
Did you count that? I know it was annoying as hell, and I apologize already, but I got 33 out of a 90-minute debate pageant. That's, oh dear, there's going to be ciphering involved. Heaven help me. So we got your 90 minutes, and we're going to divide that by 33. That's an interruption every 2.7272723 minutes. Is that about right? Yeah. And it, like I said, I just feel kind of nasty. But let's understand something. While we have posited the notion, and Tracy referred to it last night, that Bernie would have mopped the floor with him, which may be true, had that been Bernie Sanders standing there, it would have been no different. It was the content of some of the interruptions, I think, that made that really made a difference, that mattered. Yes. I think it was. It's also host abuse. Brother Deacon Asa said, this is listener abuse, Bob. Yeah, well, the host had to listen to it twice already. So, you know, suck it up, Buttercup, okay? Jen in Australia, shit, Bob, you didn't issue a hockey puck warning. I grabbed an underripe Bartlett pear. It's not working. It's not working. And then in regard to the sniffles, Benito Cheeto today declared that it was because his micro... Okay, so back up. I work in the realm of audio here, and everything's not always perfect, and everything doesn't always work. But I've been well taught by none other than the likes of John Fox in Australia, and he's taught me a lot. I mean, for instance, if I do this, hear that little click, that little pop? That's nothing I did. That's a short somewhere in an ancient system on the playback line. And if I screw up after I run a clip and I leave it up for a little bit, it'll continue to do that, and I don't like it, and I wish it was different, but one of these days, right? Sure. But John has taught me about microphones, and I knew a little bit beforehand, and been around radio stuff for a long while, and well, Trump complained today, and he went over to a friendly place to do so, namely, and to wit, Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where he declared victory. Yeah, I know. Generally speaking, I saw one poll today, aftermath poll. It was like 71% to 29% people thought Madam Dr. First Lady, Senator Secretary Clinton, pretty much one going away. But nonetheless, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini declared victory on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. And in regard to the sniffle, the sniffs, which, oh God, this is one of those moments I wish I was good with Photoshop, because he's the Snuffatrumpicus. Yeah, Sesame Street fans out there, you know who I'm talking about. And the Snuffatrumpicus, Snuffletrumpicus even has a bizarre fur, so we got that going for us, which is good. But he complained that he had microphone problems. I don't know what model microphones those were. But he complained that his microphone problems were such that he could not be heard in the room, which tells you how much Donald Trump knows about microphones. Because, see, we could hear him out here in the world. So if there was a problem hearing him in the hall, that wasn't a microphone problem. That was a PA problem. It was a mix problem. Just, you know, not to get too deep into inside baseball, but for instance, the way I've got this mix desk configured, I've got a pair of channels that send to the streaming computer. When I sit in for Mike Malloy, I've got another pair of channels that I send to the internet, magic internet gizmo. If I want to set up PA speakers out in the yard and annoy the all out of my neighbors, I've got another channel I can bring up for that. And so, kind of like that. But Trump complained that people couldn't hear him in the hall, and yet we could hear him loud and clear on the electric TV machine and out on the radio box that's built into the automobiles. But then he said that it was a very bad microphone, but that maybe it could pick up him snuffling. Here's a hint about microphones. Either they work or they don't. Now, I don't know if that was a condenser mic or a dynamic mic. A condenser mic requires 48 volts of so-called phantom power in order to make it do microphone stuff. I would be inclined in a situation like that to go with a dynamic microphone simply because that 48 volt phantom power thingy is just one more thing to potentially have go wrong. But under any circumstance, you're not going to have a bad mic at an event as important as that. It will be tested and it will be retested. And in fact, there was a sound check. They didn't just say, I guess we got some stuff plugged up. Let's hope it works. No, you test it rigorously. And if it was possible for me to get John Fox on here, he could explain it to you in much greater depth because he's been through these things. In point of fact, when one becomes president of the United States, what you'll see is that when the president speaks, he doesn't speak into one of those stalk microphones like what they had last night, STALK. He uses it's an established protocol. It's a matched pair of, I believe, Shure SM58s. The one, you know, the reason there's two of them there is for the purposes of redundancy. One goes out, the other keeps going. But none of that, no. And, of course, nothing was battery-powered. There were no lapel mics or lavaliers or anything like that, because you don't want to run the risk of a transmission problem from the wireless transmitter, and you also don't want to run the risk of batteries dying. So this is, I suppose, a long way of saying he lied about that too. And that's what he did. He lied. It was just one lie after another, except when he was telling the truth. And the one little moment of truth-telling in which he engaged was a tacit admission. Namely, when Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton pointed out that he hadn't paid any income taxes. And he declared, "It means I'm smart to not pay income taxes." Because in his mind, there is no measure, there is no metric for anything that does not involve money. He's just a sad, pathetic, venal old fucker who has no interior life. But money. And so he admitted to the nation that he doesn't pay taxes. And then when the issue came, Mrs. Clinton brought it back up again, he said, "Well, you would have just squandered it anyway," thus twice admitting that he is a deadbeat upon the body of the nation. You know how on Fridays on the front porch we talk about the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable? I talk about what makes people experts in their own lives is that they have an entire lifetime of carrying America's wealth class on their backs. Well, last night was an object lesson in that. Maybe you didn't realize it. Maybe you didn't fully take it in. And I'm sure the Trumpansies are finding some way to pathetically rationalize their way around it. But we, all of us, are carrying Donald Trump's dead orange ass on our backs. Because taxes are for, you know, us schmucks. Not smart people like him. Hey, thank you very kindly, Arnold. Arnold just took up one of those subscription spaces on offer, courtesy of Harold, president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you very kindly. Two to go. That's awesome. Excellent. And it means that we have we've got a subscriber for the 27th of the month. That's wonderful. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you very kindly. Arnold said, "Yeah, the 57s and 58s are awesome microphones." They are. And I think maybe it's a 57 I'm thinking of, the presidential mic, because the 58's round, because I've got a Beta 58, and that thing's so tough that they used to advertise, it sure did, by showing it submerged in a mug of beer. You could take it out, wipe it off, plug it up, and go, and it would keep working. So maybe they were 57s. It's the ones that don't have round. It's the one that doesn't have the round in. It's got kind of a straight and flattened off, straight with flattened off top. Let's see. Hey, Jim says, subject line: Trump water buffalo. Jim says, Bobby was drinking more water than Stalin when he made his first speech after the Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union in July 1941. It's a lot of water. Steve in New York, subject line polls, says, here's how it breaks down. Statistically valid polls had Clinton winning. Bullshit online polls had Trump winning. Well, everything on the internet is true. And, you know, then there was the remark about the stamina that he claims Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton lacks, when apparently Trump's stamina gets laid out in lines on a mirror. Oh, I see. Arthur pointing out, you know, it's a smart mic. He had a smart mic that follows his facial expressions and injects sniffling noises right when you breathe in. Hi, Brother Bob. Hi, Arthur. Yes, only little people pay taxes, Brother Bob. And we all know that Trump is huge, huge, huge. Right. Ah, okay. Steve also pointing out, you just don't understand, Bob. That was a Kenyan usurper microphone. And Steve and Jim are on the same page. Within 1 minute of each other, they both sent practically the same email, Jim and Steve both, pointing out Trump, the new Leona Helmsley, and Steve saying, as Leona Helmsley said, only the little people pay taxes. Can I just have a little moment, a little moment for Donald Trump? Because it was kind of like a sort of cyber Tourette's. Oh, by the way, the cyber is the new thing, the cyber, and Donald Trump's 10-year-old git is going to save us all from cyber hacking because he has a really excellent computer. But no, I had my little interface thingy up and running last night, and every so often I let Professor Spicoli take over.
You dick.
Yeah. Cuz it just felt good. Ron in the warm up to freezing north. I mean the warm up, the run up to being, yeah, whatever. Ron says, did anyone notice that Lester Holt showed up and left the boys at home? Ron, I'm going to have to take it. Maybe I'm just a little o-slay on the uptake, but I'm going to need a little explication on that. Marty pointing out, oh, okay, so we're calling people Leona Helmsley now. Does that mean Marie Antoinette's finally off the hook? No, not off the hook, off the gibbet. Just saying. Oh, God. What a night. And you know, I was it the same with you? I mean, I tuned this thing in, and just sat there with a sick sort of queasy feeling. But you know what? There were two candidates. One of those two people will be president of the United States. But it became readily apparent last night that only one of them is actually prepared to be president. The other one's not even prepared to be a game show host. Oh, I forgot about that. Brother Deacon Asa noting, because there was so much to forget. My knowledge of the English language is rather limited. Could you, in your infinite wisdom, explain to me whether bigly is an actual word? The orange turd used it multiple times. No, as a longtime practitioner of the art of knowing words, I can tell you that bigly is not a word. It might perhaps be a made-up word, but it is not. No. Sorry. Neither is strategic. Strategically, I used that one earlier today, but I knew I was making up a word. Trump, look, he is terminally unbright. Matt in San Francisco noting, halfway through the debate, they put out an Amber Alert for Lester Holt. I actually sat and pondered that. Would it be such a terrible thing to let the moderator have a mute button? I mean, because the reason Donald Trump is Donald Trump is nobody ever makes him play by the rules. He has gotten away with what he's gotten away with in the course of his life because no one has ever sought to effectively discipline him. And if the moderator, at the first interruption, if the moderator had said, Donald, your mic is off now, and you can talk, and maybe they can hear you three or four rows out, but nobody else can. And I'm going to turn your mic back on in a minute, and when I do, you're not going to interrupt anymore. She's going to say her piece. You're going to say your piece. But there's not going to be any more interrupting. Okay? If you interrupt again, that's going to happen again. Because sometimes, way back a million years ago, right-wingers would try to call in and dominate the conversation. And, poor fools are so simple, they don't understand that, I got all the buttons. And so I can just boop and press a button, and the button is red. And in black letters on it, it says mute. And nothing gets out. Now, I don't like to do that. I won't do that. But especially if you're dealing with a right winger, it's the only way to make them understand that they can't just behave without consequences. Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little slow. I really am. did anyone note that Lester Holt showed up and left the boys at home? As the lovely and talented Carol Baker said to me during the debate, get some balls, Lester! Well, no, Lester didn't have any. I do give him credit, though, for not going all, full tilt Benghazi and making only one reference to the email, and that because, orange anus brought it up first. So there was that, but no, he didn't try to exert any control over a forum that was supposed to have been his to direct. Yeah, it was as though if he were a film director, he would have just said, and roll him, and said, yeah, I'm going out for coffee. I'll be back. Y'all do what you want. The New York Times described Lester Holt's performance as restrained. New York Times, he was silent for minutes at a time, allowing Hillary Clinton and Donald J. Trump to joust and bicker between themselves, and sometimes talk right over him, prompting some viewers to wonder if Mr. Holt had left the building. Oh, yeah, the Amber Alert that Matt mentioned a minute ago. Andy Borowitz published earlier today. CNN launches manhunt after Lester Holt vanishes from debate. You know what's awful? And I hope to goodness that we can find something else to talk about later. Because otherwise I might just punt. We got two more of these things to live through. Now, the next one on the schedule is Tim Kaine versus Mike Pence. Call it the heartbeat away debate. Oh, is that what we're calling it? VT Blom in the chat room. Lester went for the minimalist approach, Bob. That's it. Zen, that's what it was. It was Zen. Jack in Shreveport said, yeah, Big Lee. I heard that too, but I think he said Big League. Well, that happens when your tongue gets going too fast because the Peruvian marching powder has you operating at a higher state of reality. Yeah, thank you, VT Blum. Be the ball, Bob. Oh, Sparky, you've started something. Be the ball, Danny. Be the ball. Over in merry oldie Engeland, News Ninja Gene says, watch the whole debate on BBC. And there was definitely not enough alcohol in our house to dull the pain of listening to would-be Emperor Orange. So, alas, we listened to him, sober. And since we watched it on BBC, that means that Dorito Donnie scarred the psyche of two nations. I hope he's proud of himself. Oh, Gene, he's always proud of himself. He's proud of himself when he goes potty and it doesn't hit the floor, and he actually gets it in the bowl. He's always proud of himself. And we got two more. One of which is going to be hosted. And notice it is the final one by Chris Wallace of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. You know about the rules of primacy and recency, don't you? It's kind of a rule of thumb of cognition and human understanding that says what you hear first and what you hear last are what you remember. And that anything else in the middle, well, you're just kind of, if you're wanting to convince people, anything you stick in the middle may or may not be remembered, get lost, whatever. Well, if you take the recency part of it, and you apply it to the debate schedule, then Chris Wallace gets recency. And that could be a bad thing. So Wednesday, October 19th, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, Nevada. It will have an identical format to the first debate. And Chris Wallace says he's not going to fact check shit. Because that's not his job, man. I mean, it was like I said, it was abundantly clear that she got the better, but in this upside down election cycle, what did it mean? Dogman from the chat room simply says of Trump, that Negro was coked up, period. He did. He looked like sounded like a lot of people that I knew in the 80s in Atlanta. And there was a lot of coke in Atlanta in the 80s. Yeah. Now, I was never a big fan. It just, I don't need to be any more agitated than I already am. I mean, the fact that I can't tolerate caffeine should probably tell you about, you know, my history with cocaine. No. So, we're coming up on the top of the hour. If you want to talk about the pageant some more, we can. And you're welcome, too. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, that's the nature of this program. What you want to talk about, we talk about. But, okay, well, one more thing. Okay, one more thing. And I was glad that Madam Dr. First Lady Senator Secretary Clinton brought this up. Because it is a real thing. And that is his blatant, relentless, remorseless sexism. She brought up the name of Alicia Machado. Alicia Machado is a beautiful woman of Venezuelan origin who in 1996, at the age of 19, when Trump had just taken over the Miss Universe pageant, won the crown. And she was, and still is, an extraordinarily beautiful woman. And we need to understand that beauty is, of course, subjective. But she was pageant beautiful. And there are... Venezuela is known for beautiful women. Describing Donald Trump this past Thursday, he said, several months ago on a Thursday, she said, for sure, he's not a good person. When he had first taken the reins of the Miss Universe pageant, he referred to Alicia Machado as Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeping, because that's how he thinks about people of Hispanic origin. And trying to defend himself, he said, well, you know, I mean, she was our Miss Universe, and she was eating everything in sight. She'd ballooned up to... She weighed 118 pounds or 117 pounds. She went to 160 or 170. So this is somebody who likes to eat. He mocked her ability to speak English. And among other things, publicly shamed her. And he's okay with it. He's not going to stop. This is a pathology with him. I did notice that the real Miss Piggy has a Twitter account. And I'm just hoping that she will eviscerate Benito Cheeto over this. Maybe broil them jowls, if you know what I mean. But that was, to do that to a 19-year-old girl, and apparently in his childhood, he went to some, you know, twisted military, severe military academy north of New York City. And his yearbook photo from like 8th grade or 9th grade, Donald Trump, ladies' man. He didn't give a damn about what the woman looked like. Didn't care what mind, you know, soul, what, no. He was only concerned with her appearances. And when you get right down to it, that's what you're dealing with Donald Trump, appearances. There's no there. He's unreal. The topic of race in America was painful to watch. He declared that Black America lives in a hell on earth, utterly oblivious to the fact that it's the policies of his party that maintain that hell on earth, right? And that was where I think that's where one of the sighs happened. And when Hillary Clinton, to her credit, talked about long-term plans to end and reverse some of the greatest problems of race in this country, he sighed and declared, no, we've got to have law and order. Blacks and Hispanics in America are living in hell because it's so dangerous. And what's this about the awesomeness of the airport in China? Now, we've got a correspondent there. Is it really that awesome, Steve? I don't know. I mean, I've been through Charles de Gaulle and the airport in Frankfurt and the one in Amsterdam. The one in Amsterdam was pretty impressive, I admit. And he cited LaGuardia, and he cited JFK. And he talked a lot about crumbling infrastructure, but the fact of the matter is, there is nothing in his plans or policy proposals, such as they are, that indicate he's ever going to, that there's any way that, no. And then there's this. If you talk about crumbling infrastructure to ordinary, average Joe Sixpack, such as he is out in flyover country, And you ask them what that means, the first thing off the tip of their tongue is not going to be, LaGuardia is a mess. It's going to be the potholes in their roads. But, you know, Donald Trump never travels those roads, so fuck them, right? Yeah. Rusting, rotting bridges? Ah, screw that, too. Donald wants better airports. LAX is a train wreck, too, according to him. I can tell you the international terminal at Hartsfield International in Atlanta is big and airy and open and full of natural light and quite pretty, really. It's a stupid little ride to get there, but it's still rather pretty. But even when it comes down to air travel, it's not the airports that are the problem. It's the miserable state of actually being in the airplane going somewhere. If you're someone like me, who is over 6 feet tall and weighs more than, more than 150 pounds, because, I mean, I'm 6'2". I think if I was 6'2 and 200 instead of 6'2 and 230, I don't think it would make that much of a difference in an airline seat. And it's the misery of riding in that tin can. For the life of me, I can't imagine what it must be like to take, say, Atlanta to Johannesburg, or perhaps L.A. to Sydney. You know, one of those 26-hour affairs. No way. My knees would dissolve, and my lumbar spine would collapse upon itself. But, you know, Trump doesn't give a damn about that either. So we have that. Marty points out, Marty's an aviation fan. He says, for me, it is the airport, but yes, the airline seats are getting too small and the row's too narrow. I don't hang out at airports. Does anybody? I mean, you're in, you're out. I mean, if you're there for a few hours, it's nice to have some decent stuff to do or a place you can get a good bite to eat, whatever. But, I mean, the little sushi bar in LaGuardia, nice, very nice, tasty. But none of that matters to Trump. He's got his own goddamn airplane. How does he even know what the inside of an airport's like? He was lying again, and we've gotten to where we don't even notice. And, of course, I'll tell you what. You know, we could do this all night, but I'd rather do it in conversation at the very least. A reminder, we have a fundraising hole of $450. $435, which is now down to $430. We need two more subscriptions for the evening. Harold, chairman and president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, will add $5 a month to the first year of your subscription if you sign on, and that would be a big big help. But we need to take a bite out of this before it completely blows up in our faces, because there are bills that remain to be paid at the end of the month, and the first of the month is falls on a Saturday. So there you go. You know where the contribute tab is, headonradionetwork.com. So hopefully we'll knock that down. You know what? Looks like we've got Todd over on the Skype line. Let's check in on Todd. Are you there, Todd? Oh, Todd. Hold on. Skype rebooted. It may have screwed with my sound settings.
Hello?
There's Todd.
I'm mad as fuck, man. What the fuck?
What? What?
I was nice yesterday. Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. That nigga was coked up. Fuck him. He can suck the left side of my black dick. Fuck him. Motherfucker.
No, tell us how you really feel, Todd.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm just kidding. Fuck him, man. Seriously. No. Who the fuck does he think he is? Number one, people like him, somebody gave him a package. He didn't pay for that shit. I know how that shit rolls. These motherfuckers didn't pay for that shit. They're like, yo, you need to be up a little bit, Donald, because you're kind of dragging. And Hillary's going to, you know, you got to be on point. And, you know, remember, he was in that Studio 54 crowd. When I used to live in New York, motherfucker. I used to live there, not you, motherfucker, but I'm saying.
No, a different motherfucker,
what the
right,
fuck,
yeah.
Man? Who the fuck does he think? He is oozing with white privilege, and it's disgusting. It is fucking disgusting. I am so fucking pissed off, man. I was very nice yesterday. I know I talked to you yesterday. I'm not gonna take up a lot of your time.
It's okay, Todd. The idea that you're sitting down there in South Carolina stand just boiling. I want you to get it. I want you to get said what needs saying, because I don't like the idea of you not having anywhere to vent, because you don't have anywhere to vent in South Carolina, because everywhere you turn down in South Carolina, Stanford, wasn't he just wonderful last night? Oh, here, honey, let me bring you some shrimp and grits, and we'll talk about how presidential Donald Trump was.
Exactly. And I don't fucking sleep. You know, I wake up, man, and I have to listen to goddamn Washington Journal and hear these fucking asshole bitches call. These motherfuckers call up this morning. Well, Hillary was just, she was just battering Donald Trump, and she wouldn't let him finish. And I'm like, bitch, what the fuck is wrong with your fucking thought process? Are you fucking an idiot? What the fuck is wrong with you? That motherfucker interrupted her. He's like, no, you're wrong, no. Then he didn't even respect the fucking moderator, even though Lester did, and let me calm down. Carol, if you're listening, I'm not trying to offend you. Carol, you do a great job and everything. But I'm pissed the fuck up, man. This is bullshit. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
You know,
I'm telling you. No, you listen to goddamn Washington Journal, man. That's middle America. I'm sorry. Those are your people, man. What the fuck is wrong with these people? They can listen to the same thing that we listen to, and they just don't fucking get it. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Tell me. I was trying to be nice yesterday. I was nice. I didn't want to talk. I know you were trying to. But you know what? And this is why I didn't want to talk about the pageant, as you call it, because that's what it was. When these assholes started saying, "Well, we're not going to fact check." What the fuck? Have you not been to high school? My God, if you hadn't been in the AP track in high school, what the fuck are you doing running for president? You know, goddamn. If you're in a debate club, you just don't get up and talk off the fucking top of your head. You have to have facts.
He doesn't, because debate preparation, Todd, is for losers.
Asshole. What the fuck is wrong with that, man?
You open a good topic here, because, you know, last night showed the lack of respect and the disdain that he holds for the American people. We're not even worth preparing for a debate. We don't have that value to him.
No, and it dovetails into what you were talking about the airport. Exactly. See, fly over America. But these motherfuckers have been so brainwashed, and they're so, they like, I don't even know if the Honey Boo Boo thing is still on, because I don't know. I don't fucking participate in that bullshit. But these people are fucking ridiculous, man. What the fuck? Now look. Something is awry. What is wrong with our populace? That this asshole has even gotten this far. And if you listen closely, now I had that shit playing. I didn't sleep last night. The C-SPAN had that shit rerunning all night, because I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I was really, as much as I dislike, I'm only doing a defensive vote, period. She's a placeholder.
Yeah, right.
Right. Right. Come on. She's a placeholder. But
But could the choice have been any more stark between the two? I mean, you're voting for her defensively in South Carolina, Stan, but, don't you feel a little bit better about it?
Oh, hell yeah. It doesn't even matter where, that whole state thing changed for me maybe a couple weeks ago when he started getting closer and I started hearing ignorant black people even getting on board. Because, see, remember, this is the year of the outsider. It really is. It's not like we like Hillary.
So are you in a, I'm just checking because he says you are. Are you in a living hell, Todd?
Hell yeah. Fuck this. Listen, when I first got here, I got here in 08, right after the nigger got in the White House. And these motherfuckers were mad. And it took me a minute. It took me a couple months to figure out why they were so angry all the time. And I was like, oh, it's the black guy. And, because this is not that costume. You know where I live, because Jim grew up here. The old dude Jim from the military. I'm in that same town he grew up in. And this is old school South here, except without, it's not cosmopolitan. They want, this is like, imagine Ozzy and Harry. That's where they want to run this fucking place. And I don't subscribe to that bullshit. Sorry, I don't do it. And I refuse to. And you got these step and fetch niggas around here seriously, they're like, this is, if you want to see the old South, that's where I fucking live. And I don't subscribe to that bullshit. Fuck that. Fuck that shit. These motherfuckers don't know their heads from their ass. Fuck them. But look, this guy had the nerve, the disrespect. Now, instance one, let me tell you what really pissed me the fuck off. When Lester, and the reason I didn't bring up any debate shit last night,
Are we moving on to the Lester Holt critique portion of your call, Todd?
Yeah, exactly. Asshole, that motherfucker. Listen, he said, stop talking about stop and frisk. And no, you're wrong. No, Lester was right. You know what? And I'm glad you brought up the mute button because I thought about that shit at 2:30 this morning. At the third time I heard the goddamn debate, I was like, oh no, this mother. And see, remember, he is Arrested Development. Donald Trump is Arrested Development incarnate. He's a guy. At the most, he's a 13-year-old. I mean, on a good day. On a fucking good day. Ooh, pussy. I want to fuck her. Ooh, ooh, ooh. You know. What the fuck is wrong with him? He is just out of fucking control.
Well, I mean, but in asking the question, you present the question, you say what's wrong. You say what's wrong with him. There is something obviously wrong with him.
Period.
He's not okay. Remember in 2000 when we all learned, or most of us learned for the first time, what it meant to be a dry drunk.
Right. Yeah. And it was ugly. I was like, man, you know what? There's a maintenance thing now. You get your two shots in the morning and go about your day and just go about your lot in life. Because apparently your shit is fucked up. George Bush, yes. Yeah, he's a burnout. We used to call him burnout, but he's a burnout. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah. Come on. 70 years old, doing coke. I can't see it, but... I suggested it, and it wouldn't surprise me, I guess, but really? 70 years old and skiing on your nostrils?
Man. You can't bullshit a bullshitter. He got his extra Mussolini on. He was extra, extra. Did you see those faces?
Did you watch the split screen?
Oh, and Hillary, yeah. Hillary's like, oh, I got this motherfucker. She, man, you know what?
Kudos to whoever did her makeup and wardrobe choices. It was perfect. She kind of had a glow about her, whereas, he was sort of burnt orange, burnt umber kind of, yeah.
So, moving forward a little bit, I feel much better in a way. I'm a little bit more comfortable. It's still going to be close, I think. I'm not trying to predict anything, but I feel a little bit more comfortable. But the arrogance of this fucking asshole. And then let me tell you what scares me, though. Look at these dickheads that he has around him. Giuliani, he's a fucking dried up piece of shit. What the fuck is wrong with him? And Pence is a goddamn straight-up Klansman with the coat. He is like John Ashcroft. John Ashcroft used to scare the shit out of me. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
So that shit, and let me say one thing. I didn't talk about the police shit yesterday. I just had to say one thing. Because these people this morning on C-SPAN, and this is the only problem. They, no matter what this guy does, facts don't matter to them. They just want the great white hope. They know what he stands for, or what they think he stands for. And the scary part is, now that we've seen how this degenerate Arrested Development walking cauldron of mental illness fascist asshole orange Cheeto person, if he isn't even a person, how he operates, see, he's going to delegate. So Pence will be running shit if he does win, which is scary as hell. Because he knows, Pence knows the ins and outs. Donald Trump doesn't know shit about it. He probably doesn't even know the group benches of government. You know, he'd have to study on that. Well, I was looking at it. You know. And why the fuck do you think he's going to Russia? Like, I like Putin as far as hitting ISIS, but Putin knows that ISIS is us. You know, that's an offshoot of what we did.
What the hell does that mean, you've been fighting ISIS all your life, by the way? She's 68 years old. ISIS was created out of the ashes of the ashes of the collapsed Iraqi military in 2008.
That's the
2007, 2006, 2005.
See, that's what I'm saying, Bob. That's what got me. In the middle of the night, these motherfuckers are irritating me, saying Trump, he'll save us, and she was just bullying Donald Trump, and Lester Holt wouldn't let him finish a point. Just, I mean, two or three, and they were mostly women, white women. They sounded white. I'll put it like that. I don't know.
Todd, you can hear white?
No, I can hear white, boy.
Yeah, but you see? Yeah.
I know.
You speak redneck, yes. You're the opposite. Hey. You're the opposite of Barbara Billingsley on Airplane.
But no. You have to do that because sometimes when these folks talk so fast, I have to put my filter on to understand what they're saying. I'm like, and if you say, you can't say I didn't understand you because that puts people off. So I didn't hear you. Could you please repeat that? And I had to put my filter, my language filter on. I don't want to get into that right now. But listen, these motherfuckers, man, listen, all police are not good, period. And this is a scary story. And I'm telling you, like, this shit, you know, Philadelphia Inquirer has always had a really good troop of reporters. Remember, K. Johnston, what's his first name?
David K. Johnston?
David K. Johnston came through there in the 80s, Black Hawk Down, all that started with the Inquirer. Pablo Escobar, that whole movie and everything started with the Philadelphia Inquirer. They have some really good investigative journalists because there's always some stuff going on. Because Philly's like in the shadow of New York, so a lot of folks, you know, in New York and Jersey and whatever, they come to Philly to hide out, you know. But the thing is, every 5 to 7 years, there's a huge police scandal. First of all, everybody knows, you know, the police are a gang. The operators are a gang. They are a gang. Because shit shuts down. When you kill a cop, the city shuts down. You could rob a bank, they don't give a fuck. They're gonna get a cop killer, period. But which is probably a good thing. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of corruption. So the latest case, you know, and it's not about race. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. A lot of times it is, but sometimes it isn't. But this is a mixed group of cops. And the DA has to overturn between 700 and 1,000 cases now, going back 10 or 15 years, because the narco squad, these guys in the narco. And remember, when you're in a narco squad, you got free reign. You know, you work different hours, you're in unmarked cars, you just roll around the city. They stole $1 million worth of drugs, sold them on the street, shaking down people, giving perjured testimony, lying on police reports, and a lot of these people were just innocent folks.
In other words, Tuesday.
Right. see, and remember, 700 cases, it's not just 700 people. Because when you get caught up in the criminal justice system, most, if you have a position, you know, like a position, like you're on salary, you know, they don't give a fuck, man. You're in trouble. They're letting you go. You're hourly. They're letting you go.
Well, let me ask you a related question. Let me ask you a related question, Tom. When Hillary Clinton says that she is proud that the federal government's getting out of the business of doing business with the for-profit private prison industry, and says that she would like to see the states get out of that business too, do you believe her? I'll self-report. I found that she seemed sincere in saying that.
I think that she is scared shitless about even being. I really believe this now. Right. I kind of do. I kind of think that she knows people are going to hold her to account. And of course, I agree with that. Because, number one, what the fuck do private entities have to do? In other words, when I say the state, I don't mean like South Carolina's the state, Kentucky.
No. L'État. The French, L'État.
I'm not getting off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the powers that be don't, that shit should never be meted out to private entities.
What's the bottom line?
To make money.
Yeah, I mention all this, Todd, because one of those moments when I wasn't just actively reeling with nausea, and I haven't seen any accounts in the news today that mentioned it, but I thought it was kind of a big moment, at least to me, was in conjunction with the for-profit private prison industry, the prison industrial complex discussion. She said the following, or I'm paraphrasing.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I don't think incarceration should be something that is connected to the profit motive.
Right.
And you know, there weren't any spikes on the real-time who's this machine. But I'm sitting here and I go, whoa, shit. That means something.
That's a big fucking deal. That's a big deal.
Because you can make that argument in regard to health care or clean water or breathable air. You know, just because you need to, you, Mr. Great Big Corporation of America, need to make a profit, doesn't mean that you get to poison the water and air of people in Flint or Appalachia, or, you know, or that, you know, we need your pipeline because you need more money.
See,
I mean, that was a sober takeaway moment. If she actually believes that, then there are other arguments that can be made to her.
I'm telling you, ever since a few weeks ago, I'm telling you, she is looking more presidential. In other words, I feel like, but she's got a lot of, this Haiti thing is going to haunt her. Why are these people still living in the tents? And you know what? If she has to go to be held to account for that, that's fine. Because her backup, Tom Kane, is nothing like this Pence guy, right? That Paul Ryan and those ghouls—they're ghouls. They're fucking vultures.
Let's be fair. Kane and Pence are both on the same side of the abortion debate. They both despise abortion. Kane and Pence both think so-called right to work is just lovely.
No, I didn't know that about Kane.
Yeah, the only difference being that Kane says, you know, we're going to do what the law is. Pence says we want to change the law.
I refuse to use that term, just like I don't use race card, because racial disparities and racial...
people are not cards?
No, it's not a card game. It's not a fucking game.
I mentioned that only because... There is a disconnect. Tim Kaine was a safe choice, and he's almost faded into the background. Pence is out there because Pence has always been an attack dog against women's rights. But did you notice that there was Lester Holt was apparently not particularly worked up about abortion? There was no mention of abortion in that debate. And apart from being apart from a snide criticism of her for it, there was no mention of climate change.
You know what? I thought Lester Holt he was playing the house nigger role. All right, I'm not sorry to say it. I'm just saying what I believe what I said. He's a house nigger, and he didn't want to upset the boat. He's a Republican. Now he did surprise me by even calling out some obvious inaccuracies. Okay, that was good. But on the whole, right, like Carol said, you know, he didn't have any fucking balls. You know, and this is the thing. What the fuck? This is not even a goddamn debate. If you're not going to call people on their facts, it's not a debate. All you're doing is bloviating.
Yeah, but I sat there, Todd, I sat there wondering about abortion and about climate change. Because those are two issues that are very near and dear to opposite sides of the political spectrum. And so the question is, would there have been any purpose served to have brought that issue up as a question? Because it doesn't everybody know that the Republicans deny climate science and think that a woman's place is in the kitchen, barefoot and pregnant? I mean, is there any? I guess the question I'm asking is there anything to actually debate on that?
There's no middle ground on that. There's no middle ground.
I mean, a woman's right to choose is concerned, it's a constitutional right, just like guns.
But see, we're going back to that cold Civil War shit because. I'll be honest with you. This abortion thing, I'm thinking a lot of this. Some of it is religious. But there's a large segment who just feels like there's not enough white babies being born. Okay? When Margaret Sanger, because you read her shit, right? And it's the truth, like some of the right wingers say, she didn't really want a whole lot of Negroes because most Negroes were malcontents or substandard, you know, and for a reason.
Subhuman. On our side, we acknowledge reality, and she had elements of eugenics.
Exactly. That's where I'm going. That's exactly. Remember, they were doing that shit up until the 50s. If you were slow, they would, you could be a beautiful woman, man. No, you can't have no baby. Sorry. And a lobotomy, a frontal lobotomy, we'll do that in a minute.
And oddly enough, I think I read somewhere that the majority of lobotomies were done on, you know, women.
So
wonder why.
You know, but we can't even talk about complicated issues anymore because motherfuckers don't have a decent education. So we're dealing with I don't want to say ignorant, but I will because it's expedient. We're dealing with a whole ignorant population who just watches TV all day, all right? And they like Dancing with the Stars. I don't know even that shit is going on. I don't know. They, you know, just a bunch of bullshit. Instead of worrying about the goddamn course of your life and your children's life, your loved ones, if you have younger people who are under you or around you or in your community, we're all connected. We're all, you know, you don't live in a goddamn bubble. Even if you want to be, you don't live in a fucking bubble. I don't care where you live. You don't live in a fucking bubble. Everything you do affects somebody else, period. And that's just the way it is. That's life. You know, that's the whole Eastern philosophy thing, because maybe it's true. And that is why, you know, some of these different religions, like, you know, sometimes you talk about paganism and, you hear pagan and people freak out, but, you know, really it's like a nature walk. Like, if you live in a city, it's nice getting out in nature and taking a walk. You're like, well, you know what? This tree has life. You know, just being at peace. But I don't know if I'm getting too far off. But, yeah, so yes. you know, none of the heavy issues were even brought up yet. This is just esoteric shit we're talking about so far. But this asshole can't even get, he can't even follow the goddamn instructions. He is not, see, take the politics out. This dude is mentally ill. He can't even fucking follow the rule. He cannot, he could not say, no, no, no. Motherfucker, shut up. This is not your fucking time to speak. Shut the fuck up. Just because it's a nigger sitting down there doesn't mean you can just talk over him constantly. Constantly. You know? And if it was a woman, oh, you must be on your period. You know, he would say some shit like that. What the fuck is wrong with him, man? You know what? He needs to go somewhere, man. Fuck him. Fuck that asshole.
Oh, I think he's probably slipping into dementia. Maybe this is the denouement to a life long lived, having abused various and sundry substances. I don't know what happens to old cokeheads. You tell me.
Well, I don't know, but I've seen them. You can't keep doing stuff like that. You can abuse chocolate cake. And there's a difference between use and abuse. And as a matter of fact, you know what's interesting is that guy's name is Horn, Dr. Horn. Now he's a recovered drug addict, and he's a PhD in neuroscience now. And he's made the case for. See, Nancy Reagan got us all fucked up between the difference between using and abusing drugs, because there's a reason that folks do what we call drugs. The reason that we do what we call drugs is that they're really not that harmful if you don't abuse them. It's not the heroin that kills you. It's what they cut it with. All right? Anything you do too much can harm you.
Well, you consider the ancient Greeks. Nothing to excess. All things in moderation.
Correct. Exactly. So yeah, but this guy, yeah, he's off his rails. And the thing is, we got these folks that follow him, and this is not. I'm feeling much better. I mean, it's, you know, this is just my gut feeling, but we have to see how these how things firm up. I stopped predicting. I don't know, because we're in a whole new territory now, you know. But it's just sad, you know. I want to see some hard questions asked, and he cannot stay on task.
Oh, no. I mean, and see, that's why when the whole is he on coke thing arose, one of the responses was, no, he's not snorting coke. He's snorting Adderall.
He might need a whole lot of that.
Well, I mean, you know what Adderall is.
I do. I remember when I was, because, you know, Adderall's funny because that's what we used to give that to the kids. Like, in other words,
it's basically time released Ritalin.
It is, but the little kids, it'll slow them down. Like the little kids who are hyper,
yeah,
it'll slow them down. But adults, it's like meth. It's like pharmaceutical meth to adults because of your thymus gland.
Nice.
Your thymus gland, it reverses. You know, I can't help it. I went to school for all that shit, so I can't help talking about it. But anyway. Yeah, it's crazy, you know. But to see this police stuff and this stop and frisk shit, man. Come on, back the fuck up, man. We gotta clean out this police force first, man. It's just disgusting.
And the thing is, stop and frisk doesn't work. It didn't accomplish anything. Statistically, in New York, when stop and frisk was in place, 9% of those stopped and frisked were white. 9. Not 19, not 15, 9.
9.
So it's pretty obvious who it is that the police felt like needed stopping and frisking, probably because of not necessarily overt biases, but implicit biases, the stuff that they're not even aware of, can easily account for it. But no, Todd, you know, don't beat yourself up for being worked up. I mean, that last night was tough. even though, you know, even though she arguably won, it left as many questions open as it answered. And for me, question number one is, did the rest of America see what I saw? And if the answer to that is no, what the happens to us if he wins?
That's why I'm very ambivalent right now. Like, one part of me is like, I feel so much better because it's like, but I'm still using our, see, this is the thing, we're using logic. These other people, they're a lot, they just see what they want to see. How the fuck can you see that performance and you have people calling in the C-SPAN saying Hillary was bullying Trump and Lester was interrupting Trump? Like, in other words, when they say Lester was interrupting Trump, what they're saying is that, who does that nigger think he is interrupting that rich white man?
Sadly, I wish it was not so, but it is. Todd, you have yourself a good night, my friend.
You take care. I hope Tracy calls. I'll talk to you later.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Todd. Bye now.
All right.
Our buddy Todd in South Carolina, Stan. I've got a master class on how to watch a debate here, courtesy of Jen in Australia, that I really badly want to get to. Right now, though, let's run over to the stress line, where I suspect we have Jim waiting. Hey, Jim.
Good evening. How you doing?
Yeah, it's been a weird day, Jim. I won't lie to you. I mean, watching that thing was like an hour and a half, 2 hours of, cheap beer or bad hooch or, I don't know, but I woke up today and it's like, just kind of sideways.
Well, I think Trump really showed his ass last night, as he has on so many other occasions. Number one, by the way he kept interrupting and being just plain like rude, and some of the horrible statements he made about the lady from Venezuela, not to mention other minorities. And, you know, the guy is not right. I mean, he sort of got started off after he guzzled about I don't know how much water, and I don't know what that was about.
But he was then, pounding it down.
Yeah, he was thirsty. Apparently, something really had gotten his taste buds dry. But nonetheless, of course, his taste buds have always been dry, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, from where I sat, he had all the earmarks. He was doing everything but chewing the air gum.
Oh, he was, absolutely. And I think you're right. Lester Holt should have muted his mic, saying, look, if you can't behave, then I'm going to teach you how to behave. I don't give a goddamn how rich you are. That's what I'd have done. I'd have done it in a heartbeat. And, you know,
we can't do that because that would imply bias.
Well,
if he'd said I'm going to warn both candidates again, did you notice Jim that they had a civilized agreement with the audience that there would be no Trumpansy hooting?
Oh yeah,
and they hooted anyway.
Oh yeah,
and these are people who want the rule of law and order, and they can't even behave themselves in a civilized setting.
Well, that shows you exactly how much respect they have for law, or any law that doesn't suit their purpose. That's my opinion of it. You know, your friend there, Todd, mentioned the word eugenics and stuff like that back in the 50s. And I just wanted to drop one on you here. Remember that film, A Judgment at Nuremberg?
Yes.
Remember when Max Schell playing the defense attorney for Herr Rolf, his name was Herr Rolf, and he was talking about eugenics of the Third Reich, and he opened that law book and said, and I quote from the great American jurist Oliver Wendell Holmes,
three generations of imbeciles is enough.
Right. And they should be sterilized. And, you know, and people wonder where the Nazis got this shit. Oh, they had a good playbook to read from. I'm not trying to get into the Nazi stuff.
No, but we were at that. I mean, Todd brought it up. we were at that stuff up into the 50s and later.
Oh, yeah. And they, of course, you know, even as early as the 40s when that prefrontal lobotomy was considered to be one of the methods of treatment. Well, look what happened to Rosemary Kennedy. And was done so by the old man without her mother's permission. And she was turned from a reasonably functional person who had normal urges and stuff like that for her age into the someone who was like 4 years old.
Yeah, a zombie.
Yeah, and had to spend the rest of her life at St. Coletta's, that place in Wisconsin. Nobody would ever mention her. I mean, you know, that stuff was going on, and people were just... You know, psychosurgery was like in its infancy then, and it's a terrible thing. And I really was terribly impressed with that play suddenly last summer. Remember that?
Yes.
When they were trying to get Montgomery Clift to go along and lobotomize Elizabeth Taylor so they could get money for that psychiatric search, and the old lady... played by Katharine Hepburn, Mrs. Venable, wanted to have it done because she wanted to cover up her own son's misdoings and things of that nature. But, I mean, you know, that stuff's been going on a long time, and it was, and it's been surfaced in a number of literary works and plays and stuff like that, as well as history. But I can say this, Trump toward the end there just completely fell apart. It's like, you know, whatever he was on, it left him because his thought patterns and his speech was so desultory, and he just went from one thing to the other. Do I still have you?
Right here.
Okay, it's kind of transmits a little hard. But, I mean, he just was totally desultory. He just jumped from one thing to the other, cat and dog, and he wasn't making any sense.
Well, the other thing is that he proved his thin-skinnedness once again, Jim, because somebody said, I think it was Jake Tapper over on Chicken Noodle News, said she would dangle bait out for him and he would take it like a rabid wolf. And see,
oh, yeah.
he tried to bait her and she didn't.
She behaved herself with considerable aplomb in every way possible. She was just totally perfect. Her ensemble was great. She looked great. And her think state was great. And she was extremely presidential. And I'm glad the fuck I voted for her yesterday.
You cast an early ballot or an absentee?
I've got it right here, and it's going in the mail. I only voted for two people, Bob. I don't know all these assholes around here, and I voted for two people, Hillary Clinton and Charlotte Pritt. Maybe I made a mistake on the second one, but nonetheless.
Well, I understand why you would, because it's not like a good, solid Democrat has. It's hard to feel good about voting for Jim Justice. I'll be honest with you. I'm not castigating you, Jim. I'm not. But I wish to God you would have voted for some of the Democrats in the legislative races, because that's where the future of West Virginia lies.
Well, and, I just didn't know who they are. I really don't.
But the thing is, just checking the boxes that had a D beside them, this is one of those times when that actually would work, because there's not a good Republican in the entire West Virginia legislature. They're all crazier than a sprayed roach.
Well, you've got a point there. I just didn't know any better, and I just thought to myself, rather than not know who the people are and what they represent, I'm not going to give my ballot, but I did give, I marked in two bubbles. So that was it. That's all I could think of the vote for.
No, I understand that. I mean, look, I'm not, this state so desperately needs new thinking and new blood in government that it's almost inexpressible.
Well,
but I mean, over here in Fayette County, I'm voting for a slate of Democratic dinosaurs, but I'm desperate to get rid of Tom Fast. Okay, that guy's a dick, and frankly, it's unfair to call him that because, you know, the penis has you know, salutary properties as well. There ain't nothing good about Tom Fast. The best part of him ran down his mama's leg. Out there talking about Barack Obama making secret Muslim hand signs and wears his special Muslim lodge ring and crazy horse shit like that and tormenting lesbian couples who are doing nothing more than trying to give a life to a fragile, at-risk newborn infant. Screw him. But in order
to tell you the truth, I've become so disconnected from all that. I just don't listen to it anymore. Occasionally, I'll watch that thing with Bray Carey.
Oh God!
And I can barely get through that because he has some of these people, but they were going on that justice not being able to walk, stuff like that. I mean, he gets downright nasty on that program.
Well, see that, and nobody outside West Virginia knows what we're talking about right now, Jim. But the latest kerfuffle is the question of whether or not Jim Justice and Bill Cole will stand or be seated at their gubernatorial debate.
That's on October 4th, isn't it?
I believe so. And Bill Cole, I want to stand up, because I always think best when I'm standing up.
Well, good for him.
Well, I don't know how he can, because his brains come out of his ass every morning when he sits down.
Well, that's true. He must have a rather curious alimentary canal, but nonetheless, I'll take your word for it. And Jim Justice is not any better.
But the overall, and this is the risk nationwide. You know, the people are fond of saying that, you know, democracy is really practiced on the state level and not the federal level. That, you know, that the real democratic experiment happens in state governments and local and county governments. And if that's true, then, I'm not criticizing Jim, but if that's true, then neither Hillary Clinton and this is certainly a certain amount of cynicism born of just knowing what the reality of West Virginia and Central Appalachia is. Neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump is going to do a damn thing about the issues that are destroying West Virginia. The only hope is to get some forward thinking in the legislature, and that has to begin by getting the assholes out. You know, if you paint the walls and put up new wall sconces and valances and window treatments, it don't matter a damn if everywhere you still step, there's a cockroach.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. Like I say, I don't know, but of the two, I would definitely prefer Secretary Clinton to at least make some effort to ameliorate conditions in maybe this state as well as others. I sure as hell wouldn't depend on Trump. That's for damn sure.
Oh, no, no.
And, you know, that asshole has taken the old jagged tooth, I call it, the old post office in D.C., and now it's Trump International. I wish they had a big sign over it. Trump International, where the asshole stands guard.
Well, did you notice that last night? Even if I don't get to Washington, even if I don't get to the White House, I'm going to get to Pennsylvania Avenue one way or another.
I'm going to get there one way or the other.
And that's a beautiful old Victorian Gothic pile of bricks. It is. And
absolutely. And God only knows what they're going to do to it. It's probably going to look like the Bell Watling Room, you know? I mean, all these people were so enthused about his decor and all this kind of stuff. My God, it looks like a whorehouse.
He's tacky as shit.
I mean, really, I'm sure. Do they have mirrors on the ceiling?
And pink champagne. Hey, Jim, mirrors on the ceiling and pink champagne on ice, and we are all just prisoners here of our own device. You can't throw lyrics out there at me like that. It triggers something in the old DJ in me.
Well, I can appreciate that. I certainly can. But I'll get off here because I know you got other people that want to react to this. But I was really proud of Secretary Clinton. I really was. I mean, she was not only was she presidential, not only was she well-informed, but she was a lady. And she did not interrupt him, and she had decent manners. And I can certainly go along with her being our next president and commander-in-chief.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to try. I don't think she's going to try to pick up a canape with her toes. I can't feel that. I don't feel like that about Donald Trump. But, Jim, and I'll let you go. I don't want to keep you on any longer than you want to be either. But there was one other seminal moment last night that sort of blew past, too. And that was that moment when it was like she stepped out of the debate setting itself. And she said, listen, I want to take a minute and reassure our allies in South Korea and Japan. And rattled off a few other countries.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We honor our agreements.
Right. I mean, what kind of shit's Trump doing? He wants to emasculate NATO, and he's playing footsie with Putin, who is nothing but Putin. And I'm talking to an FBI agent who was his opposite. When Putin was a lieutenant colonel in Dresden with the KGB, this American guy, I can't remember his name, he just said, Bush said he looked into Putin's eyes and he could see his soul. Well, I can tell you there were two very prominent American civil servants who dealt with Putin. And they said, when I look into his eyes, I see a killer. And Leon Panetta said, when I look into his eyes, I see nothing but KGB, KGB, KGB. They might call it FSB now, but it's still the same crowd and the same thing. So, you know, and Putin wants to play footsie with him.
And that's the other thing she did.
With him.
He, you know, he's got a very fragile ego. And when she and that thing, you could tell that thing was a Gom Jabbar that went all the way in. When she said, or maybe he's just not as rich as he says he is.
Well, I mean, he doesn't want to declare his tax return, saying that that can't be done because he's under an audit.
Which is bullshit.
According to the IRS rule, you can produce your entire tax returns, even if you are under an audit. That does not preclude that. Bob, that dog don't hunt.
No. And the thing, and what we're learning here, Jim, is that for people who support him, to continue to support him, they have to engage in almost total denial of reality. They have to
Absolutely.
Be able to tolerate 100% cognitive dissonance. They have to not believe their lying ears and not trust their lying eyes.
Bob, I'm going to say one more thing and let you go. That bastard Trump is so damn crooked, he uses a corkscrew for a ruler.
Yeah, well, when they bury him, they'll have to auger him into the dirt. He'll be too crooked to bury.
Well, I mean, really, he is just one of the nastiest people I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, and how in the hell he even got to where he is as the Republican nominee ought to tell you something. Well, listen, good night, sir. You have a good program.
All right, you take care, Jim. We'll talk soon. Thanks
out
a
here.
Lot. Bye now. And Marty reminding me, not just women, but women who did not conform. Remember Frances Farmer in regard to the lobotomy discussion. Yeah, Ron mentions, Putin is a stubby Stalin. Nice, nice. Stubby Stalin. I love me some alliteration. In the meantime, let's... It's 4 minutes before 8 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone during the live broadcast. And I'm just going to make a brief note that we came into the program with $435 to raise. We still have $430 to raise. And that means there are two new subscription offers, courtesy of Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Harold will provide a year of $5 a month contributions to match yours if you become a new subscriber for two more people. And we need subscribers during this time of the month. And secondly, we need to knock down a significant chunk of change
I don't even want to think about a $630 hole on prayer meeting Wednesday. Locking the doors of the cathedral don't work. Laborman with a news flash in the chat room. Scrump is a jagoff. Deep, 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 deep. Yep, absolutely. Meanwhile, translating for the brains of the outfit, Punky, let's check in with Scott. Hey, Scott.
Wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this right. The brains of the outfit is whom?
Punky.
Oh, okay. Okay, I thought
Punky. I figured it out. Punky is a Punky is a cockatiel from another solar system.
Oh yes, yes. Every good thing that I know, and every good thing that I do, emanates from Punky's example. And, yeah, he's looking at me like, yeah, you just catching this, Jack? Come on. Anyway.
Yeah, you're Punky's translator.
Well, here's what I say about Trump's new hotel. And I thought that was wonderful that he acknowledged the likelihood of just where on Pennsylvania Avenue he would end up one way or another. And by the way, the Trump Hotel is at 12th in Pennsylvania. The White House is at 16th and Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And it is close in the sense that, yeah, you can comfortably walk it. You could do it probably on crutches if you needed to. But he made it sound like it was the Treasury building, which is like right next door to the White House. And it's certainly not. And for my money, the old post office building, which is what it used to be, had way more class, style, verve, and panache back in the 60s when it was a smog, smoke-covered, bird shit-dripping, half-falling-apart, leaky, basemented heap of bricks, you know, 50 years ago, back when I first saw it. And it used to be, going back to the early and mid-60s, it was the D.C. terminus for all of the Virginia buses coming into the city.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. And they had lanes constructed out in front of the building where the buses would end their route, and then they would make the return trip back into D.C. And as a youngster, like 8, 9, 10 years old, I had gotten into the hobby of magic. And catty corner across the street at 12th and Pennsylvania from the old post office building was a place called Al's Magic Shop. On one side of the store, it was a magic shop, and on the other side, it was like souvenirs. You know, get fireworks and plates with presidents' portraits and miniature Washington monuments to do weird things with, you know. And I would go over there and just spend hours, and all the money I had from carrying the old afternoon Washington Daily News, buying magic tricks to impress and astound my pals, you know. And I had one that for years astounded and confused and befuddled my older brother. It was a little gizmo, and what you would do is you would take an ordinary 12-ounce Pepsi bottle or Coca-Cola bottle and fill it up with water, preferably with a little food coloring in it so you could see there was water. Put one hand on the top, one hand on the bottom, turn it over, hold it upside down with the opening pointed toward the floor, and no water would come out, and you could put like toothpicks and wooden matches and pencils even up through the opening, and water still wouldn't come out. And then you could turn it back over, hand it to the person, and say, examine it and try it yourself, but you're responsible for cleaning up the water on the floor. You know, impressive little thing it was.
Oh, that sounds kind of neat. And you know, you got the magic bug about the same time as my buddy that I grew up with, Steve Trash, the rockin' eco hero magician, got the bug, and Steve's still going with it, going strong. As a matter of fact, he's been on the state. This is about the time of year that he works the state fair circuit, and he's been Oregon, Kentucky, Ohio, Wisconsin, and he delights children of all ages, as it were.
Yeah, I believe I've seen. Does he have YouTube videos up? Because I think I've seen.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, just about any magician worthy of the name magician at one time or another made a pilgrimage to Al's Magic Shop, because it was there on that corner from probably the late 40s until maybe around the early 80s, and then it moved up to Vermont Avenue Northwest in the high rent district, and then finally Al retired. But he also used to give shows, like at kids' birthday parties and stuff, and he also entertained at the White House back when there were youngsters like John and Caroline Kennedy, you know, things like that. And the White House Christmas parties, he would be one of the entertainers. Stellar human.
Well, across the street from that building now, almost directly, is one of my favorite little chain restaurants in the world. And for a time back in the early days of the Horn, it was referred to as the Horn's home office in D.C.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's a Brazilian. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Churrascaria joint called Fogo de Chao. And what you pay a set price, and they bring you your side dishes: fried banana, mashed potatoes, and something else. And then they start bringing you freshly fire roasted cuts of meat.
Ooh.
And it's all you can eat. And so from time to time, either I or Guy James or both of us together would turn our little discs over to red so they'd leave us alone and go outside and walk off round one and come back in 5 or 10 minutes later and you know, stand there and stare at the old post office building and then go back. And that's almost directly across the street. And that's how I became familiar with it.
The last time I was there in D.C., and I left D.C. in 82, but I had made visits back. I think the last time I was in D.C. was like 98, but it was before that I was in downtown D.C. I think there used to be a donut shop on the ground floor level of that office building that stood there and may still stand there. Years before that, back until the early mid-60s, there was a hotel there, big old stately hotel called the Raleigh Hotel, and the Channel 5 independent TV station in D.C., WTTG, which is now a Fox-owned and operated station. It was one of the Metro Media stations. But before that, it was one of the original Dumont stations. That gives you an idea how old it was. They used to have their studios and offices there. Man, that's just a zillion years ago. But anyway, I didn't really call to talk about the old post office building, but since you were talking about it, it brought back a lot of memories. But you were talking about the debate prep that Trump didn't do
because prep?
Yeah, because he didn't think we were worthy of that investment of time and energy on his part. It has nothing to do with us. Everything that he does or doesn't do has to do with him. You know?
Well, the whole country exists for him. The universe. Yeah. I mean, he is. He is a walking, talking, living, breathing violation of Einsteinian physics because the universe revolves and expands and contracts around him.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I were a true believer in the good Lord, I would like to be present at the moment he enters the pearly gates and gets his pass to go up to visit the Almighty, just to stand there, positioning myself just right, so I can see the expression on his face when he is formed by the Creator of all things that he, Mr. Trump, is not the center of the known universe.
Well, no. See, that megalomaniac sack of shit thinks that if he approaches the throne of the Creator, it's just going to have a mirror sitting in it.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And the debate last night, I'm telling you, I didn't know what to expect going in. I figured that it would work out all right, but I had no idea that I haven't seen a meltdown like that since Chernobyl, okay? And I half expected Trump at some point in the proceedings, I don't know if you've seen the movie Airplane, very funny movie from the 80s.
Oh, very. There was an Airplane reference earlier with Barbara Billingsley.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I half expected at some point for Trump to have a Lloyd Bridges moment where he looks at the camera with his
bad day to quit sniffing glue.
Yeah, bad day. Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. And I posted a thing on my Facebook. It's a little diagram, and there's no caption or anything. It's just little pictograms of the debate proceedings last night. And it starts, I know it's hard to do pictures on the radio, but I'll try to do word pictures. First, it's just, you know, Hillary and Trump, and he's got his finger raised. And then he's got his arms above his head and, exasperation. And then he's kind of looking toward her angrily. And then he's really looking toward her angrily. And then he's leaning back, roaring with laughter. And then he's sitting on top of his podium with one of his legs crossed, facing away from her. Then he's sitting on the floor next to his podium, on the other side of his podium, away from her, with his head down. Then he's standing there with his podium held up above his own head. And then finally, there's a picture of just Hillary standing there alone at her podium. And the only pictogram missing is the one where he tries to get Hillary to pull his finger. I mean, that's the adolescent, and I don't mean to, you know, smear adolescence here, but that's how juvenile it got last night.
And I think that's the part. He was the same ratty, bratty, awful little shitheel son of privilege he was in military school. And I mean, there were two people on the stage, and one of them was a grown-up, let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He proved beyond a shadow of a doubt last night that when he is required to stand there in front of 84 million people on the national stage, on the worldwide stage, for 90 goddamned minutes at the grown-up table, that his bullshit, bluster, and bombast routine does not work. And it couldn't happen to a bigger creep. I am so happy that he showed finally, at long last, to many people just what a ridiculous, cartoonish schmuck he is. And yet he claims to have raised overnight $13 million from people who watched him.
Yeah, why not believe that? That's what I keep trying to, I don't feel like the boy who's crying wolf. I feel like the boy who is actually and really in for because there's one, you know, like in the house, crying. Oh, I don't know, flesh eating slime monster. This is not in the bag. And I have no problem believing that he raised $13 million last night.
Well,
because there are that many of those kind of people in the United States. You know, well, the ones I mentioned earlier who are engaged in 110% complete total cognitive dissonance.
Well, if I ever decide to go into direct mail marketing, I want to rent that list because it's obviously the most gullible people in America.
Well, you know where he got some of it from, right?
God knows. I mean,
let me help. You noticed that Ted Cruz endorsed Donald Trump. Well, before Ted Cruz endorsed Donald Trump, Donald Trump spent a lot of money buying and renting Ted Cruz's list from him.
Okay, well, then it begins the all the tumblers have fallen into place and it starts to make perfect sense. Jeez. I personally, and I know that we disagree on this point, but I personally think that Ted Cruz's decision to endorse Trump after swearing up and down that he wouldn't is really, on some level, it's Cruz's awareness, or at least his hope to God, that Trump is going to go down in flames on November 8th.
And he, Raffaellito, has plans for 2020.
Well, but it's not only that. He, even though he's not what you call a get-along and go-along type of guy in the D.C. establishment, he being Cruz, he does, I think, have enough sense. Yes, Punky, I said Cruz. He does have enough sense to at least put on the appearance of being a team player just to cover his own ass. That's what I thought the endorsement was all about.
Well, it was also the quid pro quo for having let him have access to the list and having received a bunch of money.
Yeah, that would make perfect sense.
But you want to talk about fun.
Okay.
this is fun. When Ted Cruz endorsed Trump, there was at least one head that exploded, Scott, and it exploded gloriously. Stand by.
Do you mean aside from my brothers?
Yeah. No, this one was even better.
For the first time, and I'm sorry if that was too contentious for people.
We should do it, right? I mean,
I will tell you, that's not what I expected, but there was something in there, and I'm not going to go into it. There is something there where I have private conversations with people, and I know private I know what was said, and I know the story. And for the very first time, I heard Ted Cruz calculate. And when that happened, the whole thing fell apart for me. And it's my fault. It's my fault for believing that men can actually be George Washington. It's my fault. I should have said, you know who can win? You know who could beat Hillary Clinton? Marco Rubio. And I disagree with him on the Gang of Eight, and there's about 80% that I do agree with him on. And he's kind of a politician, but he's a different kind of politician. He's a young politician. He's a Hispanic. He can win. Let's go for it. Instead, I said, let's find a truly honorable man. And that will always let you down. Right now, we have become PETA. Shame on all of us. Why not just, if you won't vote for Hillary or you won't vote for Trump, why not just cover me in a bucket of blood? Why not just shame me in the public square? Why not run them out of business? They're climate deniers.
Isn't that lovely?
Yes, lovely.
Is that Glenn Beck?
Yeah, it's the one and only, the Beckerhead.
Oh, lovely.
Begging to lovely. Be covered in a bucket of blood because his hero, Raffaellito Eduardo Cruz, anointed booger-eating future king of America, endorsed Trump.
Well, good. I think everybody should have a little disappointment in the course of life, you know?
Oh, my mother used to look at me when I would be heartbroken over something that was really not worth being heartbroken over. And she'd say, well, son, into each life some rain must fall.
Yeah, exactly. It brings texture and character and context.
Only for Glenn Beck, it's buckets of blood. He's feeling kind of Old Testament Exodus-y.
Well, maybe we can get infected blood and he can really have at it. You know,
maybe some Ebola blood.
Yeah, there you go. That would make an interesting webcast. But I don't know. And here's the deal. Trump, and maybe you can answer this. Trump, Punk, I don't think you saw it. Maybe you can answer this. Last night, Trump made a cryptic remark having to do with this supposed conversation or series of conversations that he had with Sean Hannity having to do with Trump's early opposition to the Iraq invasion. I think that's what that was about, but I couldn't grasp what the hell that was all about, or whether it was just more of his fevered ravings.
That's pretty much what it was about. They were ravings. I know this much. I checked in with Variety and the Hollywood Reporter today. Trump apparently has in development a new TV program called Better Call Sean.
Really?
That's a joke.
Oh.
It's a riff on Better Call Saul. Sorry. Well, yeah, tough crowd.
Here's the problem that we're all
See, everything would have been fine if he just could have used his phone a friend and called Sean to say, no, Donald was definitely against the Iraq. Listen, Scott, come on. I mean, I and many others on the progressive side of the aisle were heartily and decidedly opposed to the Iraq war, and you can bet your last dollar we knew who our allies were because we lifted them up. We praised them.
Oh, I know. I remember that. I went to all the local marches out here in San Diego, and we had quite a few of them, and they were not small and inconsequential demonstrations.
Yeah, and the point is, Donald Trump was not one of those allies.
No,
he wasn't one of those people. Because, see, it was, people forget, in 2002 and going into 2003, it was actually dangerous to be opposed to the Iraq war.
Yeah, because if you're not for us, you're against us, according to Dim Leader. Wasn't that the quote?
Yes. Yeah, that was exactly the quote. If you're not first, you're against us. He tried to kill my daddy. Fuck Saddam. Yeah. We're taking him out.
Well, here's the thing. He would have appeared on a speaker's platform at some of these demonstrations during the run-up to the Iraq invasion. Trump would have, if he had felt that way. I never saw him. That's because he wasn't there. All right. And as the inference that he's trying to get us to draw, that he had discussions with Hannity because Hannity couldn't see the wisdom in Trump being against it, because the Fox marching orders were to be totally for anything and everything the Bush-Cheney team did. That was one thing I did get out of what he was talking about. But again, with Trump, you never know when he's pulling something totally out of his ass or there's any grain of truth to what he's trying to say. More often than not, it's stinky what he's putting up as exhibits with little tags and letters on them.
Well, I keep saying it again and again and again, and people, I guess, are getting bored with it. But damn, we have got to come to grips with the fact that this guy, it's not over.
Oh, no, I get that. I truly do. And it's not going to be over until the 8th of November. And even then, there may be some delay in getting a final tally. I mean, this isn't my first rodeo and yours either, so I know how that works.
I mean, I constantly, and I know I get shit for doing it, but I'm constantly looking over at 538.com at their nowcast. Hillary Clinton, 53.8%. Donald Trump, 46.2%.
Is that the chances of winning, or is it?
That's the nowcast chance of winning. If the election were held right now today.
That seems awfully high for him, but then again...
No, but that's the thing, it's not. It was higher a couple of days ago. And Nevada's still pink, and North Carolina's pink, and Georgia's getting redder, and Florida is the color of a so-called flesh-colored Band-Aid. If the election were held today in South Carolina, Trump's chance of winning is 95.9% there. In Alabama, 99.9 greater than 99.9%. Clinton's chance less than 0.1%. West Virginia, 99.4% for Trump.
We kind of gave up those Confederacy states a long time ago because they were in the November election. They were meaningless anyway.
Okay, Trump's chance of winning if the election were held today, 66.2% to Clinton's 33.7% in Ohio. If the election were held today, Trump's chance of winning in Florida, 59.6% to Clinton's 40.4%.
Okay, are they using polls as their methodology? Or
they're using polls and polls, betting parlors, everything. In Pennsylvania, Clinton 66%, Trump 33%.
Well, there was something online about some professor somewhere who's correctly predicted presidential race outcomes for the last 30 years, and supposedly he says that Trump is going to win, but I don't know what he's basing it on. I may be a cockeyed optimist, but in the final analysis, I just don't think the American people are going to do that to themselves. Now, maybe they will, okay?
Well, Ron in the far frozen north reminds us. He said, "I'm voting in Ohio. That'll fix everything there." God, I hope so.
Well, I'm out here in California, so I mean, I could write in Mickey Mouse if I wanted to, and it wouldn't make a bit of difference out here. And at one time, I even thought about voting for what's his name, the libertarian guy, Gary Johnson. No, simply to not be a direct help to Hillary. This was back after she refused to debate Bernie out here in California. Okay. And I was kind of miffed at her at that point. So it was my thinking, well, if I vote for Gary Johnson, it hurts Trump, but it's not a direct help to Clinton. But
no, the weird thing, though, and this makes no sense to me, Scott, is the fact that it appears that there is some there are some Bernie supporters who are among that 6 or 7% who support Gary Johnson. You know, I guess because he likes to get high.
Well, that's the only thing that could possibly be a good reason. I mean, the fact that he supports marijuana legalization. And also that he's against all this policeman of the world stuff. I could see that. But step back and put the pipe down long enough, kids, and get a take of the big picture, and you'll see that he will not, in the long run, be of any use to you. As a matter of fact, he may screw your situation up more than it currently is, he being Johnson.
And who's to say? You know, Hillary claims that one of her hallmarks is her ability to recognize when she's made past mistakes. Maybe she wakes up one morning and realizes that nationally legalizing medical marijuana would be a good idea, and that states' rights, let the states choose as they wish regarding recreational.
Well, anything's possible.
Seems like a long bet to me, though. Hey, by the way, you got an email in from Ron in Raleigh.
Okay.
Subject line, recent cartoon. I saw a cartoon the other day that Scott will appreciate. There's a picture of a cockatiel in a bottle flying through the air and a guy down below yelling, "Look out, it's a Molotov cockatiel." He said, "I thought about Scott and Punky when I saw it."
You don't see many good cockatiel cartoons anymore.
Anymore? There was a golden age?
No, well, no, I mean, they were very popular birds once upon a time. I don't know where they are. And the weird thing is, I used to not like them. I used to be afraid of them as a very small kid. I liked parakeets. I could take or leave canaries and finches. But parakeets were okay. But cockatiels used to scare me. I don't know why. And then I kind of warmed up to them back in the 90s. I said, well, these are not bad birds.
And then the larger bird, the cockatoo, I guess those are what? Are they're indigenous to Australia? Because I've seen videos and stuff of them just clustered on balcony railings and so forth.
I'm not sure. I do know that when you get up into the large variety of those birds, like cockatoos or parrots, those bastards can live 75, 85, 95 years. I mean, they have an incredible lifespan, even in captivity. I mean, if you treat them well. And that's one of the things that I'm running into, is the notion that I'm not getting any younger. And my last cat, who's been gone about a little over a year now, lived to be 20. Punky is 19, for crying out loud. I did adopt a rescue cat, and she's 7. I don't know. Punky may be, when it's his time to go to the big happy place in the sky or wherever the hell he's going, I don't know that I want to replace him, partially because he's irreplaceable. He was unique. But I don't want to take a chance on some, you know, one of my creatures outliving me and then not have proper, because nobody will take care of them the way I do. Not that I'm going anywhere anytime soon. Well, another thing about Al's Magic Shop. One time when I was just a youngster, maybe 10 years old, I got on the bus, and this is years before the subway. I got on the bus, went over there armed with money to buy things. And on one of those sidewalk signs in front of the door next door to his entrance was a thing that said palms read 50 cents. So I said, well, I've got enough where I can blow 50 cents. So I went upstairs. This woman told me three things, one of which was that I was expecting an important piece of mail, which I was. The second thing I have long since forgotten. But the third thing was I would live to be 89 years old. So I just turned 62 this past summer. She's been right so far. I've made provisions in my will so that if I die before 89, somebody will go and see about, you know, getting a refund on the 50 cents or even prorated, you know. But so I don't know. I don't know that I put a lot of stock in that, but damn it, I've made just over 62 revolutions around the sun. My only regret is there haven't been frequent flyer miles on it, because I would be in good shape. I could travel.
Hot see the damn. World. Yep.
What an adventure.
All right. Well, Scott, it's been a wonderful conversation, and with Punky as well.
And with you, Bob. And you take care. Keep up your keep your sunny side up, as they say, and we'll see how this plays out.
All right. Sounds good. Sounds good. You take care, Scott, and good night to Punky.
Okay. See ya.
Later. Our buddy Scott and Punky, alien overlord from another galaxy who happens to reside in San Diego. Okay. Clarification coming from Michael in Madison. Subject line, feel the Johnson.
No.
No, 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 Bob. See, that's how you creatively get around Bob gimmick infringement. No, 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 Bob. It's not the marijuana issue that has former Bernie fans converting to Johnson. Don't you know, with this subset of hipster millennials, democratic socialism was cool for like a few minutes, but now they've realized that taxation is theft, which is totes cooler, brah. Totes cooler. Backward, turn backward, oh time in your flight. Make me a hipster millennial just for one night. Okay, thanks. Thanks for making that clear. And by the way, thank you very kindly to Ralphs. Thanks, Ralphs, a bunch. Ralphs has put a $25 challenge on the table, and that would be a humongous, tremendous bounce and benefit to our ongoing fundraising goal. Thank you, Ralphs. So Ralphs will double the next $25 that come in. Thank you. And thanks to Barkway, who has taken the fundraising goal down. And thanks also to Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Cathedral Common Sense Building and Grounds Committee. So let's see. We have $320 to go now in fundraising for the evening. And remember, two slots open in the subscription department, especially here at the end of the month when we really need them. I mean, we really need them all month long, but we've got a big empty slot in the end of the month. Harold, president and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society, will happily add an extra $5 a month to your subscription for the next 12 months for for three people who sign on for subscriptions. Arnold already took one of those on, and there are two open slots remaining in the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society subscriber 12-month offer. Thanks, Harold. Thanks very kindly. Speaking of Arnold, see the pessimism is tangible. Arnold says, as a Pennsylvanian, I don't think Clinton has a chance. There are too many stupid people. The stupid ye have always with ye. Yeah. I'm sending it. One sec. Have to go and pick up Margie from Wally Hill. She gets off at 9 p.m. I said I wanted to share something with you because this is just a lovely piece of writing. It comes from our buddy Jen in Australia. I like it, and, you know, we'll carry this over maybe for the next debate and for wait a minute. We have an interruption courtesy of Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee. With all due respect, Arnold, I believe West Virginia has the lock on the stupid. Nice try, though, PA. Don't encourage him, Gerald. Now, I got this note from Jen, and this is a keeper. How to vote, how to be progressive and vote for Hillary Clinton. Stop telling people how to vote, Bob! And how to watch a debate. Jen writes, I just returned from weeks without electronics to find that at the hands of police, at least three more unarmed black American men have been shot or murdered by depraved indifference. I am so bloody sick of this shit. In the words of Australia's recently elected virulent bigot Pauline Hanson, plies expline. She spelled that out. PLAZEEXPLINE. Please explain. Please explain. Terrell Thomas, death by dehydration, 9 days without water. Dylan Roof, 16 hours after murdering 9 people, a catered burger for lunch. The only way I could stomach listening to the details of these crimes against humanity was from Bob Kincaid, but not even Archives of the Horn could loosen the knot in my stomach and my heart. I'm lost. I'm afraid of November the 8th, 2016. The brown shirts are already signaling their plans to intimidate voters at the polls, while the Texas Abbott and Costello show is in reruns, with the governor refusing to acknowledge a judge's disenfranchisement ruling, and Lou Costello Gohmert, well, just being dumb as dust. Re the Texas Three Stooges, to hell with Cruz and his power-grabbing endorsement, fuck him. Why should I not believe his daddy killed JFK? Fuck him and his wife. Yes, and his wife. She married him, so guilty. Also, works for Goldman Sachs. Guilty. She probably made Ted endorse. I'm certain she said, honey, Samson is going to be indicted, and the Bridge closing lard sack himself will face perjury charges, so that means the steaming orange turd's attorney general role is up for grabs. So get out there, honey. Do it for me and do it to the, I mean, do it for the girls. Shuffling the mail, found my ballot. Damn, the snails didn't eat it. That was my plan. At my glass kitchen table, painted on the bottom with a seal of copper-toned paint, so that under dimmed lights and a few candles, its surface becomes a pool of fire, I had a ceremony to try and force myself to fill in the oval. I placed a bottle of tequila next to the four pages and fired up the Google machine to sort the down-ballot issues, researched candidates for commissioner, etc. Just because they have a D doesn't mean squat. And a few interesting yes-no questions. Legalized pot? Yep. Torture pigs and chickens? Nope. Wait, Bernie's name's not there. Oh, that's right. I've already woken up from that dream. Needed a moment. Wandered outside to harvest cool-weather lime. Distant smoke curled from a chimney into old buttermilk sky and evoked thoughts of Bernie's family that didn't make it out. I went back inside to write in his name. On the path, I wondered if Rove... was Bush's brain, who would be Trump's? I imagine Rove saying, "Sir, this is a pen, and this is a signing statement. Go." Taking up my pen, I warmed up by saying out loud, "Okay, I can vote for Hillary." God, how I wanted the name Bernie to be there. I could put it there for what it'd be worth. I'd see it. I know it doesn't matter. It's Massachusetts. She's 26 points ahead, and Bernie said not to write in. Besides, he didn't file the paperwork. Massachusetts is a must-register write-in state. A tequila shot down the hatch. I recall my relief when the Obama campaign beat out the Clinton campaign. I remember how it felt to vote for Barack Obama. I just don't have that same rush for Hillary. By the way, back up while I say the unsayable. Hell yeah, part of the reason I voted for him is because he's black. There, damn straight, I did. Of course, it was not the only reason I voted for him, but I enjoyed voting for a black person. Is it so wrong to say so? I would have voted for Dennis Kucinich over him in a heartbeat. I sure as hell didn't vote for Obama because he's a progressive, but because I believed he was capable of being influenced by progressives. And, well, there was that cravenly John McCain and his crazy as a bag of bats, stupid as a sack of doorknobs running mate thing. Then I looked back on not voting for President Obama in 2012 because I learned that I was wrong about him. We were unable to assert enough influence over him to merit the ink to fill in the little oval a second time. I knew it was safe to leave the oval blank on that occasion, A, once the president recovered from his disastrous debate, and B, upon reading a piece by Charles Pierce about the 47%, in which he described Romney and his Hamptonite supporters as, after dining on endangered species, picking their teeth with the bleached shards from the dried metacarpal bones of indigent children. Charlie predicted a flame-out even before Nate Silver. Second shot, lime, sans salt, like a schoolgirl doodling her boyfriend's name inside hearts on a separate page I had written Bernie Sanders, scratched out and rewritten Senator Bernard Sanders, gotta be precise when writing in. I had his address ready to make his name appear on my ballot, but I continued to ponder. I know it's so old school, but I want my vote to count for something, for some small thing. Knowing who Hillary Clinton is, I tell myself I can vote for her with commitment, with full knowledge that she will disappoint. Didn't have the same preparedness with Obama, who bitterly disappointed. There's a bonus. She'll save us from absolute guaranteed destruction. So, hey, anything short of another illegal invasion can only be a good thing. As far as global warming is concerned, I don't think it'll matter what Hillary may want or not want to do, refracking, TPP. She won't have any choice in the matter. The planet and catastrophic climate change will have the first and last word over anything a President Clinton may try to do or to transgress in that regard. How do I know Trump can win? Three big, very mean, nasty birdies told me, namely Chris Christie, Rick Scott, and Paul LePage. Dishonorable mention, Huckabee. Don't forget, he won the 2008 Iowa caucuses.
Third shot poured. The oval got filled in. See? That wasn't so hard. Here's mud in your eye down the hatch. Skittles Drumpf Jr. We've been offered a bowl of four Skittles. Two aren't Skittles at all. One is an orange ass-mouthed, malignant, narcissistic Skittle. The other's a purple Skittle. I chose the latter, thanks, all the same. Fuck you, and fuck the miserable, revengeful miscreant who spawned you. Can't say who helped to spawn you, because the bug never helps anyone. And since there's an extra circle forming in hell, magma coming to a boil as I type, for people voting for him, even by omission or by imaginary third party, fuck y'all too, because you're not voting for Drumpf, you idiots. You're voting for Pence, Ryan, Ayn Rand, and the goddamn turtle. With my ballot sorted, but still with no relief for my knotted stomach and heart, I'm off to bed early. I hear there was a debate, an assessment for the job of highest diplomat in the nation. Just try and picture Drumpf in that position. I'm hiding from it. I'll wait till tomorrow to hear it in the hear if the wee orange a-hole managed to not spit on Hillary and puke on himself, which evidently is the equivalent of a win for him. Yeah, it'll keep. I'll only hear it from Bob Kincaid. The only place I will be able to stomach listening to details about these crimes against humanity is from Bob Kincaid. Now, I didn't share that with you because of the Bob Kincaid parts. I shared that with you because of the how to go about voting for Hillary Clinton part. I know you don't want to. I know you want a progressive America. But last night, I think my theory of the my theory of the imperial administrator was borne out last night. Empires are not progressive things. We are an empire. We would like to have progressive policies. We would like to have a sop thrown to us once in a while. And we got one of those last night. It was kind of seminal. It really, really was. The idea that in a national presidential debate, watched by 100 million people, maybe, that a candidate for the highest office in the land would suggest that there is somewhere in some aspect of our civic life, our everyday lives, our lives, where the profit motive is not either necessary or good. Bernie or Buster's, did you hear that? Because that was big. I don't think she'd ever said that before. And not too damn many people even noticed it. But I did. And that's why I'm telling, that's why I'm putting it out for conversation among the community. I got to have something to hang my hat on. I suspect there are a lot of us who are that way. Tearing apart the profit-driven prison industrial complex? Can we at least admit that if that was something that was actively pursued, it would be a big damn deal? Maybe it comes to nothing. Maybe it's just empty words. Maybe we are correct in being
hopelessly cynical about the entire process. Hell, my imperial administrator theory is grounded in and composed of almost nothing but 200-proof cynicism. It's also driven by at least a moderate understanding of history. So we got that. But it's something. And as I have said before, regardless of who wins, well, if Trump wins, we are in an existential struggle. We're in an existential struggle. I mean, we're in a struggle to go on breathing out and breathing in again. If Hillary wins, she will have to be pressured constantly during the entirety of her presidency to do the right thing and try to make her a better person, try to make her a more progressive person. Now, somewhere out there, somebody's saying, "Ah, bullshit, Bob, it ain't never going to happen. She's the same goddamn corporate..." And maybe that's true. But one of those two people is going to be president of the United States. Nobody else. I mean, to a degree of probability of like 99.999 repeating decimal all the way, you know, to the end of time, the universe, and everything. So what do you do? As an addendum, Jen in Australia noted, "You know, Bob, it wasn't so much seeing the name of the floppy-haired conduit for humanity's worst ideas," I don't know from whom I stole that moniker, "or the absence of Bernie's name and Hillary's name on the ballot that caused me so much hesitation. It was seeing Tim Kaine's name." Ugh. Man, that was difficult. Shame we're not allowed to fill in the oval for her and put a line through his. And hey, the next debate's the vice presidential debate. So maybe, and I guess this is one of the purposes of the debates, maybe seeing him in direct and stark comparison to Mike Pence, who will fight to the death for the right of a pizza parlor not to have to serve shitty pizza to a couple of gay marrying people. Maybe that'll ameliorate some of that, Jen. I don't know. I do not know. And there it is in the chat room again. "Quit telling me how to vote, Bob!" I think this has officially become a thing. Good morning. "Quit telling me how to vote, Bob!" So, what I was kind of mumbling about a minute ago is that I have to go and pick up Margie from Wally Hill. Where, incidentally, just, you know, sharing... Tales, you know, tales from working America. Margie has survived one of her first baptisms of fire as an associate and team member at Wally World. She has been groped and flashed. I'm not kidding, and I don't think it's funny. I'm pissed off. A guy came up to her, an older guy, pulled up his shirt, thank God he didn't flash anything else, asked her if she liked what she saw, and then came up and hugged on her and rubbed about, and then stepped back and offered her a sugar daddy lollipop. She told management said, "Well, that's just terrible. You can go to magistrate court if you want to." Of course, they have no ID on the guy. loss prevention folks, the house dick, didn't chase him down, even though he had just committed a misdemeanor battery against my daughter at her place of employ. And told her to go to magistrate court. When, of course, magistrate court is the exact wrong place to go, because it would be a criminal charge, and criminal charges must be filed in the state of West Virginia under the signature of a law enforcement officer. You know, a woman ought not have to be subjected to that kind of shit just because she is trying to earn a living. I wonder if that's how it's handled in a union shop, say at maybe at a Kroger's or something. Or if maybe she might have a shop steward who would goddamned well demand that management participate in the apprehension and prosecution. Of the perp. Yeah, Gerald. Gerald says, wow, really? This happened in the one in Fayetteville? Yes. Yes. Because that's the single largest employer in Fayette County is probably Walmart. But anyway, the point is, I got to go pick her up from work. She gets off work in another 6 minutes. And that's kind of an example of what I said earlier talking to Jim. And I would suggest that it's probably applicable in all 50 states. Yes, we get absolutely wrapped up in presidential politics. I'm as guilty or more than the next person. But what happens down ballot's important, too. Because after all, here in West Virginia, we've got a goddamn teabagging legislature that probably thinks it was God's will. And it's tough and feels really gross to say, I'm thankful that it wasn't anything worse. But now every time I take my daughter to go to her job, I let her off and I tell her I hope she has a happy day, and I hope she's going to be okay and that something worse doesn't happen, because it's fucking Walmart. And to the best of my knowledge, not another word's been said about it. No attempt to ID the dude, nothing. And yeah, it made her cry. I'd rather get punched in the jaw than see my daughter cry. But you know what? What that guy did... And arguably on the scale of that all the way up to the awful things, the really, really awful things that can happen, I guess that's minimal. But you know what? That's the kind of thing that Donald Trump approves of. You can say vile shit to women. You can talk trash on them in public. You can publicly shame them. And he's okay with that. And by definition and by extension, so are his supporters. You're telling people how to vote, Bob. A reminder, thank you very kindly to Ralph's. A $25 challenge remains on the table. and we are slowly taking down the filling in the fundraising hole. Thank you very kindly to those who have helped this evening. Thank you, Arnold. Thank you, Barkway. I hope hubby's feeling better. And thank you to Brother Deacon Gerald. So, if Ralph's challenge is met, we'll be able to go into tomorrow with nothing but a $450 fundraising hole. So thank you very kindly. Yeah, there's another reminder, courtesy of Jen in Australia. It sickens me your daughter's been forced to work there because small business is decimated. And hey, Hillary was on their board for 6 years. I didn't think about that, too. Y'all have a wonderful evening. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thank you for your participation in this little community. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Big Save Coal River Mountain Rally coming up on October the 17th. I need to get somebody from Coal River to, we'll talk about it. Maybe if you're nearby, maybe you'd like to travel in and stand with us. Try to save one of the last extant mountains in southern West Virginia. But always, Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.